It's showtime.
Hey, welcome to Did You Watch Survivor Last Night? My name is Jake Scheidel. This is a podcast about reality television and friendship in which I ask my best friend, Thomas Powell, if he did indeed watch a certain reality show. Hey, Thomas, how you doing today? Barely even slipped up in that intro, huh?
Yeah, I mean, it's almost like we've had 200 episodes to practice it.
200 episodes. We finally did it. I think there was a time when we said, we'll end this at 200 episodes.
Yeah, and we are. So you're welcome.
Yeah, this is the last one. Yep. Don't tune in next week.
Don't look. Don't unsubscribe either. But, like, don't ever look.
Yeah, and if you, like, had to, you could share the link with your friends. Be like, look at these 200 perfect episodes. They only fight in one of them. So that's good.
Yeah. Yeah, honestly, I mean, that's, we've fought in 0.5% of the episodes that we've had. That's pretty good. Those are very low.
Fight ratio.
Yeah.
When you look at, like, Congress, they're fighting constantly over there. So we're doing a really good job here on Did You Watch Survivor Last Night? People fight on podcasts too much.
Have you ever thought about how Congress is the opposite of progress?
And progress is podcasts.
It's true.
Right? Conan O'Brien. Thomas, we're coming to a close here in the first quarter of the year of Sandra. So my question for you this week is, did you watch the finale of Survivor Pearl Islands last night?
See the crib and ask, who did I steal from? Price tags on making the world feel some. They don't have enough to satisfy a real one.
I did indeed. I did watch it.
Great stuff.
And it was great. And we watched two episodes this week.
Nope. Yeah,
two for the price of one.
It's not... It was just one long episode.
Jake, how long is an episode of Survivor normally?
Normally about 42 minutes without commercials.
How long is this one?
I don't know, like closer to 90 because it was a longer episode. Like, we go through this
So
every
would you say it was twice
season.
As long?
No, not even. I would say it's one longer episode. Like, that's not...
But it's twice as long as a normal episode, though.
Technically, yes, but like when you look at the CBS blocking for
them. So, in effect, what
we're
saying is it was basically two episodes of Survivor.
So we watched two episodes of Survivor last night, and the both episodes were called Flames and Endurance.
I Shapiro'd you.
The first episode was called Flames, and the second episode was called Endurance, so it was called Flames and Endurance, this super long episode. What did you think of that title, Thomas?
They could have done better.
They could have done better. Speaking of better titles, we're 200 episodes in, which means we've cracked down another 25. So we gotta go. We can't pass judgment on Survivor for their episode titles without doing the same to ourselves.
It's true.
200. Episode 175. I would rather be right than get what I want. Yeah, it's okay. Love it, hate it, somewhere in between.
You can't always be right, but when you try sometimes, you get what you want.
Are you just, like, shopping new episode titles
for this week? Just riffing on that title. That's how you know the title is not one of our best, you know, isn't a top tier one, is because I immediately thought of a better one.
Yeah. What would be better than this one? Okay. 176, You'd Rather Die Than Eat Some Chicken.
I'm sure that was fun. That's one of the classic in-context ones.
Yeah, I think that was the one...
Out of context,
I think that was...
You know, it sounds like you walked into your parents watching a laugh track sitcom, and that's what you heard, and then you heard the crowd laugh, and you're like, oh, okay.
Yeah,
I guess that was funny. I guess you had to be there.
I did that often because my parents loved... What's the nerd show? Big Bang Theory. And now... I was on the phone with my mom the other day, and she was like, I'm so excited for fall TV to come back. Survivor, and this other show I watch, and Young Sheldon.
Watch Young Sheldon?
She got, like, of the three shows, one of them was Young Sheldon. I guess she is a nearly 60-year-old white woman, so it makes sense that she loves
CBS. Hasn't even been on Survivor in a few seasons. Like, come on.
Yeah, get out of here. Okay, 177, Victoria has emerged. and then merges in caps. Pretty good, I'd say. Pretty good episode title. Because it was the merge episode, remember? When they merged.
Okay, yeah, no, that's definitely not going to be in contention.
I think it's the best one yet.
I can tell that this is one that you said and made. I mean, you pick all of them, but this is very much a you choice.
I do remember saying that and getting the same reaction then as I am now from Victoria has emerged when I said it naturally. I think pretty good.
Did you do the little, I probably made this joke at the same time, but did you do the little circle, the emotion circle in between E and merged?
No, I just did the all caps for merge.
Oh, look, another one that I immediately was able to punch up.
Okay. 178, the big...
Guess it wasn't that good after all, Jake.
Okay, well, 178, the big Wendy City, I think good.
Big Wendy City is good.
I love Big Wendy, I love the Wendy City. That's where I live. The Big Wendy City, never-ending Ron Clark story is number 179. I think
never-ending Ron Clark story is very good.
I think it's pretty good. Never-ending, like the movie, you know? Never-ending story, but...
Yeah, I'm familiar.
Ron Clark
is in
it.
I got the joke.
Okay, good. Well, you didn't get the fucking Victoria has emerged joke, so I feel like I have to explain all my jokes to you.
Well, what I would say is I don't think there was that much joke to get there.
Oh, no. It's all about stylization. You know how... Never mind. 180, it's a classic. Chasing Jason's Kyle in space.
Yep. Look, I'm always going to be happy when Chasing Jason comes, you know. Anytime we reference Chasing Jason.
Yes. Chasing Jason is good, and it's been too long since he's been on the show. Okay. 181, I don't get.
All right.
I mean, I get it, but I just don't think it's good. Once in a lifespan, same as it ever been. That's like...
I'm sure that was in response to maybe one of us saying once in a lifespan and then making a once in a lifetime, you know, the Talking Heads song joke.
I feel like it's...
In context, I bet it was kind of funny, but out of context, it's not that funny.
I feel like it's more likely that I mentioned a Talking Head interview, and then you probably misquoted the Talking Heads because you're constantly misquoting things. And that's your
that's
thing
true.
On this podcast
I
and
do
not
that all
my
the time.
Thing.
It do be like that.
182, I think, strong contender for number one for this grouping. It's so funny. Not to hype it up too much, but Victoria, Auroria, Lororia, and Abroria. It's definitely the most nonsensical.
It's dumb, but like good dumb.
Yes, exactly. I like it a lot. That's my number one contender from the ones we've said so far. 183, there's a Cecily Strong possibility. I think we can move past that one.
Yeah, we can just keep going.
184, Chick Magnet Probst. Apparently
very good.
We had been talking about CM Punk or something.
Extremely good. You love to think about Chick Magnet Probst.
185, just a good question. What is the jump punch of this season? This was during Edge of Extinction. So what, now several months later, what would you say the jump punch of the Edge of Extinction was? The big climactic moment that everyone remembers forever.
I would say the jump cool. punch was probably...
It's so hard to pick because that season fizzled out by the end.
I don't remember anything from that season now. It's all gone.
Yeah, I'm trying to think, like, what happened at Final Tribal Council? Everybody was like, I did it. And then everybody on the edge was like, we also did it. And then Jeff was like, I don't have stock in jet skis anymore, so I'm not going to do that.
Who was in the Final Tribal Council other than the guy that won and shouldn't have won
because
he came back?
I believe it was Chris. Was Gavin on this season?
It was Gavin.
And the older woman whose name I've forgotten? Whew. Man, Edge of Extinction really blew, huh?
Yeah, you can tell it wasn't a good season because it did not stick.
Like, I still remember the final three of Ghost Island better than this because it was like...
Yeah, because it was good.
Ghost Island is not as well regarded as I think we regard it in the like lore of Survivor, but
well, that's because people are fucking stupid.
It was a historic season.
It's a good season.
It's a good season. I think Ghost Island is underrated. I mean, there were issues with editing, of course, but you know.
You know what is largely my judge of whether a season is good or not? Whether a cool person won. Wendell's very cool.
Wendell is very cool, and he's going to be back for 40, so that's going to be good. Okay. 186, the big, powerful Ron Clark, who wrote the book, who's doing the tours, who everybody knows.
Oh, I like that. Yeah, that's like your. That's from the interview with your dad that we did.
Yeah, that was fun. 187, I think, will be your favorite of this group. Yaz Queen.
Start of my nightmares.
It's good. I love it. 180.
Year of Sandro.
188 is For Rupert Forever Ago. I think it's good.
Very good.
189, Standra. That's it. That's the whole thing.
Sure.
190, Johnny Flair play, like Ric Flair, because he did.
Yeah, I like that.
Because he said woo in his tribal council thing. 191, Just Chandler. You know, like Just Joey, but this time it's Just Chandler.
Yeah, Just Chandler. Could I be any more in love with that title?
192, I think, is weak. Fiji is a feeling. It doesn't mean anything. I think that was one of those weeks where there weren't a lot of good ones. 193, that old Rupert bit where he tells people he's going to kill them. That's funny.
Yep.
194, give Sandra a sword. Decent. 195, a man who drinks cola and eats frosted shredded wheat.
That's me.
That's you.
I like that because it's me.
That's me.
It's me.
196, the pirate shipness of the season. I think pretty good, but it means nothing for the episode itself. That could be any episode. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, sure.
Yeah, okay. 197, the corpse groom. I think pretty decent. 198.
Yeah, sure. Yeah, corpse groom, yeah.
Yeah. 198, Kid Nation, chaos reigns.
Very good.
I love it.
I think we can all agree that that's good.
I'm mad that Kid Nation isn't still on the air so we can see a season of chaos reigns.
Yeah. That's Kid Nation produced by Lars von Trier.
Kid Nation Chaos Reigns, like, everybody thinks it's going to be a chaotic season, but really, like, there's just a horse named Chaos, and then these are his reigns.
And the horse is in charge of the town. It's very whimsical.
The horse is in charge of the town! That's such a good idea. Let's make it a show. Okay, and then last week, 199, it's all about friend. I think it's good.
Yeah, sure, why not?
Why not? What's your favorite... I think there's a very clear answer. What's winning this grouping?
I like For Rupert Forever Ago a lot.
That's good, yeah.
What was the other one that I was very amused by?
Well, the one that I really liked, which I think might have been the same as you, is Victoria Auroria, Lororia and Abroria.
Oh, yeah. I don't know that I can pick that one, but I do like it.
What
did you think I was going to pick?
Just Chandler.
I do like Just Chandler.
I really like Just Chandler.
Here's the thing. I do like Just Chandler.
The thing is, I really like Just Chandler.
I think we might have to pick Just Chandler.
It's Just Chandler. Just Joey is so 2008.
Could that
it's all about
be
Just
any more
Chandler
the pick,
now.
Jake?
Could I win any more titles? Chus Chandler is the winner for our 8th series.
Fuck yeah.
Right? This is the 8th time we've done this? Sounds right. Okay. So Chus Chandler, best title of the whole group of 25. Flames and Endurance was this title of Survivor. It first aired on December 14th, 2003, 9 days before Christmas, for the record. How old would you have been 9 days before Christmas in 2003, Thomas?
I would be 12 years old.
Interesting. I would have been 12 and a half years old. Coming up on 12 and three quarters. How many viewers do you think this episode got?
400 million.
Wow, so many people. So the premiere of the season got 21.5 million, and then it hovered around 20 all season. But the finale got just over 25 million, so... Interesting
stuff. Oh, Jake, I just want...
Television.
I just want to make clear that the thinking about it now, you know, it's a lot of titles to process at once. The my other two favorites were The Never-Ending Ron Clark Story and The Big Wendy City.
Big Wendy City is a
back
good
to back.
One. Yeah. I think they're both very good episode titles, but I don't think that they really can wear a crown the way Just Chandler can.
I forgot that we spelled Just as C-H-U-S-T, and that really does. I mean, if it was just Chandler, it would have won, but Just Chandler
just
really puts
Chandler,
it at the
yeah.
top.
Just Chandler wears the crown. Okay. Jeff brings the final four, the ingredients to make mimosas, which of course are orange juice and a little bit of the bubbly, as well as their letters from home. Lil asks Jeff if he...
Ooh!
Was that your Chris Jericho impression?
Yeah, that was him going, ooh! A little bit of the bubbly.
Lil asks Jeff if he wants to be in a Boy Scout troop, and he very diplomatically says no.
A little bit of the bubbly.
I didn't realize how much I needed to hear Jeff Probst say a little bit of the bubbly, but I'm very glad that I have now.
Jeff Probst is your champion. Drink it in, man. The pleasure's all yours, Bucky boys.
Lil then reads a letter from home and cries over a Pete Rose quote. Which is just like...
Oh, yeah, the Wonder Sun Center that was like, I don't like losing, I prefer to let someone else do it or something like that.
I think it was something like, I believe in the right for others to lose.
Yeah, something like that.
When did Pete Rose get in trouble?
It was after his playing career. He was a manager, I believe. So this would have been in the 80s, I think.
So he was, I guess because she's from Cincinnati, he's kind of bulletproof.
I don't think
then.
He's from Cincinnati. He just played there.
You know what I mean. Jesus Christ, pedantic. Okay, meanwhile, the Joker thinks the girls made a Final Three deal without him. Really, when you change Johnny Fairplay's name in these notes to the Joker, he really does sound like an incel.
Yeah. Well, he fucking acts like it, too.
Yeah. God, he's so
that
gross.
That man was red-pilled before it existed.
Yeah. Well, I mean, technically, The Matrix came out in 1999, and this came out in 2003, so the red pill was already a thing.
I suppose the concept was out there.
Okay. He tries to convince Lil to vote for Dara. Dara tries to convince Sandra to vote for the Joker. Lil tries to convince Sandra to vote for Dara. And Sandra says, as long as it ain't me. Excuse me. Standra says, as long as it ain't me. Those are the words she said, just like that.
It's the right attitude to have.
Yeah. It's worked twice.
Yeah.
Okay. Then we just go straight into the immunity challenge. The jury works as a unit against the remaining contestants in a trivia contest. If they win immunity, no one is immune at the Final Four immunity challenge or tribal council. I think this is really good. I think they should do this more often. I think they should do this instead of the fire making challenge.
Yeah, I agree.
It's like everybody's vulnerable. That's what makes the finale interesting. It's like, what choices are these people going to make?
Yeah, I totally agree.
Jeff, let me produce Survivor. It's going to be better once I do it.
We've been talking about it for so long. Like, just let us do it.
For 200 episodes, we've been talking about it.
How much more do we have to talk about Survivor before we get to do it?
Yeah, that's my question. We know Chandler. Jeff loves Chandler. Wait, which one was Chandler? Matthew Perry?
I think we need to have more of a resume than knowing Chandler. It can't be just Chandler. It's on our resume.
We also know Joey Tribbiani. Joey Fibonacci? What's his name?
Droey Tribbiani.
So the jury wins immunity, so none of them can get voted out. Like, Ko Rong, remember that? Remember when Michelle voted out Neil and the Ko Rong jury, and then she won Survivor, and now she's going to be back
in
Survivor 40?
Yeah.
It's pretty good.
I sure remember
pretty
that.
Pretty good stuff. Dara votes for Lil, and then everybody else votes for Dara. I was honestly surprised that Fair Play didn't get voted out here.
Yeah, me too.
If I were in that Final Four, I would be like, I don't give a shit. I'm not letting this dude get any further.
Last bit of magic there. He just manages to weasel his way through most of the time.
The Joker doesn't have magic. He just likes to laugh. The Joker doesn't have magic, does he? I don't know much about comics.
I mean, if he had magic, he would have fucking won.
Yeah. Well, I mean, can't win. The Joker can't kill the Batman, and the Batman can't kill the Joker. That's the whole thing.
Yeah, he really is in that, because Russell was kind of like this too, right? Where he had, like, just enough juice to get to or close to the end, and then never enough to win.
Yeah, that strategy worked twice for him.
It's a perfect kind of villain.
Yeah, I think Russell took second his first outing and third his second, and he played the same strategy. And it was back-to-back seasons, which is why he could implement the same strategy, because the people on Heroes versus Villains hadn't seen him on, was it Samoa? You know?
Is he the only player ever to play back-to-back seasons?
No, I think there's like six or so. Michaela and Zeke did most recently for Millennials Gen X and then Game Changers. But yeah, there have been a few others. Rupert played this season, and then the very next season was All-Stars. And there might have been somebody else from this season on All-Stars. And then I think Joe played back-to-back seasons. I think one was One World. Wait, Worlds Apart was 30, and then 31 was Cambodia, right? That sounds right. So there have been a handful. And, you know, if you're a really smart player, it can really work in your favor, like Russell.
Yeah, people don't have tape on you.
Yeah. It'll be... Yeah. But then as soon as somebody does see your strategy, you rustle in Redemption Island and get voted out like third or fourth or whatever it was.
Yeah. There's no reason to keep him there.
Yeah. It'll be interesting to see how everybody plays together in the winners, because it's like everybody's got a winning strategy, but not anymore. So we'll get
there. Yeah, I suppose that is true.
Yeah. Okay, at camp, they get C-mail in the middle of the night, and there are gold coins, and Sandra excitedly whispers, "Treasure!" Which was very charming.
Yeah, it was.
Sandra's good. I hope she wins. And then they do the rites of passage ceremony. What do you think of this ceremony, Thomas? You obviously haven't seen a lot of it, because they don't really televise it anymore.
I watched most of this episode last night, but I did fall asleep, and then I picked it up again today. Mm-hmm. So I feel like I watched this, but remind me what happens.
So the rites of passage is they take everyone's torch who's been voted out and like say a few words about them.
Yes, I thought this was stupid.
It's very boring to watch. I'm glad they stopped televising it.
I remember why I don't remember much of this. It's because I skipped most of it.
Yeah, it's real boring. I believe they still do it on the island, but they just don't televise it anymore because it's like 20 minutes of shit that doesn't matter.
What reason is there to do that? Yeah. It's not compelling.
Well, I was reading up on it when I was doing the notes the other day, and apparently Jeff said that they stopped doing it because it really doesn't have a place in the game anymore. And it's like, no, it does, though. You're just not doing a good job of, like, creating these characters anymore. Like, it could still have a place. It's just boring to watch. So I'm not upset that you took it out of the show, but that's not the reason you should have taken it out of the show. Once again, let me produce Survivor. I'm going to be better at it. Here's something, speaking of the insult Joker, when they remember Nicole, who got voted out, like, what, first or second, all Fair Play has to say is, "Rockin' body."
Yep, I do remember that.
Cool guy. Do you think the producers were like, "Johnny, you have to say something"? And he's like, "I didn't know her." I guess she had a rocking body. Like, say something positive. I don't know. She was hot, I guess. Okay. And then they go into the final immunity challenge. They have to crouch on a raft for as long as they can. Sandra goes out first, and then after several hours, the Joker falls, and Lil wins her first immunity. That's pretty exciting.
That's a nice moment.
I think only four people won immunity, individual immunity, this season, right? Fairplay, Burton, oh, I guess five. Dara, Fairplay, Rupert, Burton, Dara, and then Lil at the very last second. Sandra never had immunity. Yeah. Sandra never had a vote against her. Pretty fucking good at Survivor, Sandra Diaz-Twine.
Yeah, it was impressive.
Back at camp, Sandra says if she were smart, she would bring John and vote me out, as the Joker explains why Lil should take him. Lil says that he will get Burton's vote, and he says, okay, fine, but can you live with a 6-1 victory? That's prescient.
Because, yeah.
At Tribal Council, Lil votes out the Joker, finally. Do you think...
True. The Joker is finally sent back to Arkham.
Hey, here's a question.
For the crime of lying about his grandma.
So they have this new Joker movie coming out, and then there was also the Jared Leto Joker, and then there was also the Heath Ledger Joker, but... In Tim Burton's Batman movie, the Joker died, so, like, how is that possible?
It doesn't make much sense.
Johnny Fairplay, answer us.
The Joker is like the Doctor.
Oh, yeah.
Reincarnates.
Yeah, definitely. I thought you were going to say something else that I've lost my train of thought, so never mind. Do you think voting out the Joker at this point was a smart move? Do you think Lil had a chance against him?
I don't think that there was a good draw for Lil.
Mm-mm. I agree.
I think that Lil might have been able to beat Dara.
Yes, I would agree. Although Dara has the immunity run on her resume, yeah, which is really impressive.
Johnny rubbed a lot of people the wrong way, but he at least has the argument for, you know, that he played strategically.
Yeah, and he did a good job.
If he made it to the final two, like... All he has to do is be like, I was the most hated person in the tribe, and I made it here somehow.
Yeah. I saw what...
I still managed to manipulate everyone to get here.
I recognize my standing in the tribe, and I use that to my advantage. Like, that's cool. And also, all of the women are super hot, and if I have $1 million, come sleep on my boat with me.
That would be my final tribal council
argument.
Yeah, as long as he just kept the comments, like the thing he said about whether the women are going to beat him in a getting pregnant contest. Ugh. As the only thing that they could beat him at.
What?
You know, as a
man. Why
or
would
whatever.
You say that? Like, why? What would drive you to say those words?
Because he's a fucking asshole. Like, he's a bad person.
You've heard it here first. Johnny the Joker Fairplay is a bad person. Okay. Do you want to talk about these wildlife shots? Alive.
Boy, do I.
Pretty good stuff. There was a white bird. There was a lizard. There was a pelican. Several pelicans. There were birds. Several fish. Some whales. And the turkey vulture. You know a lot about the turkey vulture, Thomas?
It's got like a waddle like a turkey does, doesn't it?
Yeah, it's very similar in appearance to a turkey, but it's actually a vulture. It can be found anywhere between southern Canada through South America.
The fake friends of vultures, or of turkeys.
Turkeys and friends. Turkeys and vultures are friends? There we go. Is that what you're saying?
Turkeys and friends. Remember Garfield and Friends?
Mm-hmm. They are also known as the turkey buzzard or simply buzzard. Follow the buzzards. And in the Caribbean, they are known as the carrion crow or also the John Crow. John Snow. He's from that show.
John Crow definitely sounds like a fucking Arnold Schwarzenegger character from a mid-90s action movie.
He definitely does. If instead of... was it Jet Li's son in The Crow? Right? Who was the guy in the crow?
It was not Jet Li's son.
Who was it?
It was fucking Bruce Lee's son.
Bruce Lee's idiot. Son. I don't know people's names.
Brandon Lee might have been older than Jet Li at the time.
Really? How old was Brandon Lee?
He's fucking dead. That's how old
okay,
he is.
Okay, but dead people can still age.
Okay, Jet Li was born April 26, 1963. Brandon Lee...
was born in, like, the 80s, probably. Probably not the 80s. This movie came out in 1994.
Was born February 1st, 1965. So unless Jet Li had him when he was, like, a year old...
it's possible.
It's not. It's physically impossible.
Ever heard of adoption? Maybe he adopted him when he was a year old. You don't know. There's a lot of things that could happen. Anyway, if instead of Brandon Lee it was Arnold Schwarzenegger, then it would be called John Crow, not The Crow. That's all I had to say about that. Anyway, it doesn't have a syrinx like most birds, so the only vocalizations it can make are hisses and grunts. It is protected in the United States under the Migratory Bird Treaty of 1918. They weigh around 2 to 5 pounds, are about 2 to 3 feet long, and have a wingspan of 63 to 72 inches.
Wow.
It's a big bird.
It's impressive.
They live in groups that can sometimes include hundreds of birds. They nest in caves, but only enter the caves when it is breeding season. It will often stand with its wings open to, one, dry the wings, two, warm the body, and three, bake off bacteria.
All right.
Sure. They might have to bake off the bacteria because they do poop on their own legs and use the water in their excrement to cool their body.
I mean, who doesn't, you know?
Yeah, good point. You make a good point. They eat the carcasses of dead animals, of course. It's like the whole thing with vultures. This is actually good for the environment because otherwise the carcass could become diseased. They rely on their sense of smell to hunt, which is rare in most birds. And here's my favorite fact about the turkey vulture. They don't have many natural predators other than a few other birds like owls, hawks, and eagles. But occasionally an animal will come up at them, like when they're nesting or for their eggs or something, and they will regurgitate semi-digested meat, which smells so foul that the other animal will just leave. And
oh, that rules.
If the predatory animal gets close enough, the vomit will sting their face and eyes. That's the John Crow. Pretty good stuff.
That's what I do if anyone tries to come into my room.
Good. As you should. Okay, it's the final tribal council. Sandra talks about how she's always been a team player. Lil talks about how she's always been her authentic self. The Joker has a bad mustache now.
It's true.
Rhino asks the important question to Lil. Since you were voted out, would it be fair to let you win? Good question, Rhino. People should be asking that question in more modern seasons, I think. It really pisses me off anytime they're like, you've been voted out, but here's a way to get back in. Like, what's the... It doesn't matter, then, if you get voted out.
No.
That's the whole point of the show, is getting voted out. Anyway. Sandra says that she didn't write any coattails. Rupert is upset that Lil lied to him. In their closing arguments, Sandra says that she was always true to herself, and then Lil says that she should have left her Boy Scout uniform at home because Survivor and the Boy Scouts don't mesh.
I thought that, speaking of the her getting voted out thing, I thought that Lil had an interesting argument that she left on the table.
Which was,
she could say, you know, I tried playing the Boy Scout way through my initial playthrough, and then I got voted out, and I realized that wasn't going to work. So yep. I had to be a little more strategic in the way that I played. I couldn't just, you know, try and play with integrity. And I think that she would have been able to sell that. And
she did not.
You know.
Yeah. Instead, she was
she didn't.
Night. my whole thing.
Lil did not do. Lil got frustrated and did not do a good job of selling her game the way she played the game.
Lil got very defensive in Final Tropical,
yeah, Castle,
which is never gonna work. Her whole thing, like, her whole argument was like, so my whole thing all season didn't work, and that's why you should vote for me to win. It's like, that's not a good argument. So they vote. Then Jeff takes the votes, and because this is a classic season, I expected him to get on some sort of Jeff ski, but there was, in fact, no Jeff ski.
Yeah, I was getting ready for that, and I was very disappointed.
It was like, with classic seasons, you know, I know how it's going to turn out, but I don't remember exact details like that, so that was what I was most hyped for. And then he showed up in L.A. wearing a different shirt. Like, at least wear the same shirt, Jeff.
Yeah, come on. Preserve the illusion.
So, he reads the votes. Lil gets one vote, and Sandra gets the other six. A 6-1 victory, just as the Joker predicted. So, that's Pearl Islands. Pretty good season. What'd you think of the season overall, Thomas?
I thought it was good. I think there's a reason that we watched it.
Yeah.
And that's because it was a good season.
It's because it's the year of Sandra. Yas Queen. Thomas, say Yas Queen. You have to say Yas Queen after we finish the Sandra season.
Yas Queen.
Thank you. Yeah. Where would you... Would you say David versus Goliath has been your favorite season since we've been doing the podcast? Or would you go back to Cambodia? Or...
Is Cambodia a second chance?
Yeah.
Yeah, I think I would still say Cambodia is my favorite.
Fair enough. Do you think this...
My second favorite might be Millennials versus Gen X, honestly.
Oh, yeah. I kind of forgot that was in this grouping of the 30s. The 30s have been really hit or miss, I feel like. There have been, like, really good seasons, Cambodia, Millennials, Gen X, and Dave vs. Goliath, and then every other one has been like, all right. Like, at best, yeah. All right. But do you think, where would you rank Pearl Islands compared to a Second Chance or a Dave vs. Goliath or Millennials, Gen X?
Right up there.
Yeah?
Yeah, I thought it was good.
Yeah,
I think there's you can make a case it was better than both of those seasons. I don't know. It's, you know, I mean, I'm used to Survivor being a certain way. This was similar enough that I really enjoyed it, but different enough that it was kind of novel, so.
Yeah.
I don't know. I feel like I have a weird, skewed perspective on it.
It is interesting how you have come into the Survivor universe, I guess, because you are so much more familiar with modern Survivor
it's true.
Than classic Survivor, whereas I feel like a lot of people who do Survivor podcasts are like, get back to classic seasons, but you don't really have that connection with it, so it's interesting, I feel like, from your perspective, to just see all of these things get stripped away as we watch classic seasons that, like, have made the show what it is today. And, you know, we'll see what happens in 39. It'll be interesting. Survivor Pearl Islands was not the only show to come to a close this week. Also coming to a close was Are You the One? Season 8. Come One, Come All.
Oh, yeah.
So they got 6 beams of the 8 last week. They sent one of the straggler couples remaining into the truth booth, because if they were a perfect match, then that would figure out the other two as well, because of how the math of the show works. They were not a perfect match, which means they'd have no more information. So they all have to sit down and talk to each other? Like, what? On this show, a dating show? Where you have to find one specific person? That's wild. So they went to the final matchup ceremony where they got... Any guesses, Thomas?
I'm going to say they got all the beams.
They got all the beams. And the last possible chance. It's great. Great season. Love the shit. Love the show. Can't wait for it to come back. You missed out on a good one.
Feel like pure shit. Just want it back, X.
Mm-hmm. Here's what happened on the challenge. This is a segment called The Challenge Chunk, hosted by Chust Chandler.
Challenge Chunk is presented by Chust Chandler.
The Americans lost the challenge, but the British team had cheated to win, so actually the Americans won. So that's cool. Josh, who was on Big Brother and then is now on the challenge but bad at the challenge, got in a fight with Wes and got mad when Wes said that he would get rid of him as soon as possible because he's a bad player and Wes is a good player, and he's like, I want to keep the team strong, you know? Laurel heard this and devised a plan to put Wes into elimination. The Brits put Bear in, then the three Americans who got to choose who goes against him were Zach, Laurel, and Josh. Zach voted for Theo because they're the strongest competitor. He's the strongest competitor on the British team. And then he's also close with Bear, who the team wanted to go in. Theo versus Bear is what the team wanted. So Zach voted for Theo, and then Josh voted for Wes because he won't be told what to do or something like that, even though this is a team game this time. And then Laurel voted for Wes also. And then Bear beat Wes. So now Wes is out.
Damn.
Johnny Bananas is still in. Bear is still in. Why don't I... There's not enough people to root for. Well, Cam's still around. Tori's still around. Jordan's still around. Who I only like because he's dating Tori. So that's the challenge, Chunk. Remember to tip Chust Chandler on your way out. Okay. Thomas, we're coming to a close here. We're a quarter of the way through the year of Sandra. So can you remind us of the hashtag again for the year of Sandra?
For the year of Sandra.
No, that's not it.
I believe the hashtag is...
That's not it either. What? That doesn't even make... Why would you hashtag that? The hashtag is Yas Queen, Y-O-S Queen, for Year of Sandra. Use it for your fun. Next week, we're starting our Island of the Idols coverage, because Island of the Idols starts on the 25th. There's 20 new people. Survivor Twitter has videos for some of them, probably all of them by the time we record next week. So watch those. CBS.com has bios for all of them. Let's just learn what you can about them, and then we'll go through them next week and pick our winners and people and predict things for the new season, Island of the Idols, then Heroes vs. Villains when that's over, and then Winners at War in the spring. Fucking love it. Survivor, good stuff. You can follow us on Twitter at DYWSLN. You can follow me at Jake Scheidel. Thomas, what's your Twitter handle?
You can follow me at TomNotTom.
Okay. Review us on Apple
Podcasts.
Yes. Review us on Apple Podcasts. What's the term? What's the phrasing of that?
Well, number one, 5 stars only. Number two, the review is, this is my favorite podcast. I like it better than all of the other podcasts. I give it a big thumbs up.
Yeah. You legally can't say 2 thumbs up. Otherwise, we would suggest you say that.
Yeah, we'll get sued by the estates of Ebert and Siskel.
Mm-hmm. And Roper, even. They roped
Richard
him in.
Roper was forced to be entombed with Roger Ebert when he died, so also the estates of Richard Roper.
That's what happens when you put somebody's brain in a machine. They can become a different movie critic. Where's the other one fall on this? Leonard Maltin. Is he part of them?
You know, he's just out there having a good time.
Good for him. Proud of him. I hope he... has a great summer.
Deuces.
On the water down in New Orleans, my baby's a pearl of the quarter. She's a charmer like you never seen. Singing voulez, 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 voulez. Well, the sailor spends his heart on. Red beans and rice.
Peeing and pooping is gross, and we should stop doing it.
No more. That's what I say.
I don't see the point of it. Or just eat the right amount of food, you never have to eat, or you don't have to pee and poop anymore.
That's the problem if you're peeing or pooping, is that you drank or you ate too much. That's exactly. It's called gluttony.
They
and
say
if you
8
didn't
cups
do
of
it,
water
your body
a day.
Wouldn't have to get rid of it.
Thank you. I don't know why it's so hard to understand about this. It's very
obvious.
It's
simple, people.
It's simple science. People are fucking idiots.
People just don't realize how efficient our bodies can operate.
Right? Did you know that you only use 10% of the poop and pee in your body at any given time?
People
don't know that.
People are always telling me that.
It's true. If you use 0% of the poop and pee in your body, you know, you'd be constantly shitting and peeing. But use 100%, you never have to. And that's what I'm standing on to win the presidency.
Yeah.
That's my platform.
It's a brave platform.
Thank you, Brave New World. Aldous Huxley. Huxley? Huxley. You know who I'm talking about.
Elvis Presley.
Elvis Presley wrote Brave New World.
I'm just a hunk of Brave New World. Please make it clear when the day is done, she got a place to go.
So here are our last 25 episode titles, which I will explain as soon as this ambulance drives by.
That was a loud horn.
Yeah, well, you know, there's a fucking emergencies, Thomas.
I just think it's kind of rude.
It's so rude that they did that.
Interrupted our podcast.
Don't they know podcasts are progress? Ambulances aren't progress.
Like, yeah, okay. Big deal. Someone's hurt, okay? People get hurt all the time. I'm
people
hurt.
Get hurt all the time.
You don't
I'm
hear
constantly
me
hurt.
Being loud.
Yeah. Like, call the wambulance more like it.
Yeah.
Fucking assholes getting hurt and shit. Like, watch yeah. Where you're walking.
Yeah, come on.
Jesus Christ. Okay.
Glad to hear it.